Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
For tuning in here at Russell Road Church. I'm the pastor, senior pastor here. I'm glad you tuned in. We've been looking at these principles in Hebrews chapter 6, and it's really a foundational truth that will really help you in the future and your walk with the Lord. It's really it's just foundational. It's good stuff. All right. Well, so we went to the worship last night here. It was beautiful. It was good stuff. And I don't know, there's something about the presence of God when you get in it and just really bask in that. In His presence is the fullness of joy, the Bible says. And then it says He will show you the path of life. I believe when you seek Him and you get His presence, the joy is unspeakable, and then He begins to open your eyes and begins to show you things that you haven't seen before. He wants to reveal things to you, wants to show you the path of life, and so it's exciting. We've been talking about these principles. Let's go ahead and get to the vision, and then we're going to read Hebrews 6:1. Together, and we will get started. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, hold still. Now look at that. It says advancing His kingdom. See, that's the call of God on our life. We're to be advancing His kingdom wherever we go. On our jobs, in our homes. You're advancing thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, when you have that, there's going to be joy involved, because joy is part of the kingdom. And love. Love is the agape love of God is really where the power of the kingdom flows, because we've been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. When that love is ruling and reigning in our lives, it just brings joy and power in our lives, in our homes, and in wherever we go, we're advancing the kingdom. We want to take the kingdom to work, right? And so, if there's a kingdom, there's got to be a king, right? And Jesus is the king, right? Jesus, all you have is dumb. Kingdom. You don't have no king, all you have is dumb. I have to tell you, I got that from Donita this week. Oh, that is good. I got to preach that. That's my farmer. But the idea is, you know, we got to serve the king. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I just see things and see how it's going. It's just amazing. All right, let's look at our verse. All right. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. All right. So we've been looking at these principles, and the six principles, could you put them up, Tasha, real quick? I want to speak. speak those real quick. Repentance of dead works, faith toward God. We're gonna move into faith toward God today, and we're coming from repentance into faith toward God. Now watch this. And then the doctrines of baptisms, we're going to get into that. The laying on of hands, we're going to get into that. Resurrection of the dead, and the doctrine of eternal judgment. Those are all principles that should be in our foundation. When you have a foundation, the word foundation literally means set in stone. Those things ought to be set in stone. So when you face life, your response is going to be a godly response. You see that? Because you're coming out of those principles and out of what's set in stone in you. Because you've been building your life on what God says. You see that? That's why he says, you know, he says, wise men build their house on the rock, right? He who hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock. For when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And that's the whole idea. When you build on what God says and you build your life on what God says, you're going to go through storms. Storms are coming. He told you they're coming. You're going to face storms. You're going to face hardships. You're going to face problems. But you're not going to fall away from it. Amen? You're going to stay in. But when you have that foundation in place, it's going to hold up no matter what you face in this life. Now, and when the foundation is there, you have influence. You have, you know, you can impact on people. Because there's a building built in Russia that was one of the tallest buildings, like a tower, but it was meant for all types of use. And they tried to build it as fast as they could and demonstrate that this company could build these buildings fast. So they built this building, and they didn't secure the foundation in some areas, and the building's leaning, and it's not in use. So you got this big, and they put signs on it for advertisement and sales of things. So now it's used for all this advertising, but you can't go into the building because it's not safe. You see, that's the way it is with our lives. If we don't build on these principles, our lives aren't going to be secure and safe. Does it make sense? All right. So this is the whole concept behind this. So now we're looking into faith towards God. But remember we talked about, we've been talking about confession in Psalms 32:5. Remember the four elements of repentance? Remember what they were? Acknowledgement. Honesty, and then what was the third one? Confession, and then forgiveness. When the first acknowledgement, honesty, and confession are in place, forgiveness is follows. It's automatic. It automatically takes place. When your confession is agreement with God, when you're in agreement with God, forgiveness takes place. You see that? That's what confession means, to agree with God. It also, the word, Greek word is homologo. Homo means same, logos means words, same words. I'm going to say the same words about my sin as the way God sees it. Now I'm in agreement with God. You see that? Now, catch that. But now get a hold of this. In the Hebrew language, the Hebrews, okay, in the book of Hebrews, that's why they have this in there, is because the Hebrews had all kinds of other gods, had all kinds of other things that they put their faith into. They were into Judaism. And so now that's why there's a correction in this book to the Jews that were into Judaism, that their faith needs to be toward God and God alone. You see that? Because they were caught up into all kinds of things that didn't line up with God's will. Now, and that's what God is doing with these principles. It's helping us. Now, think about this. I want you to go with me to Hebrews 10:23 real quick. We looked at confession. And so now we're looking at faith towards God. So faith, okay, I like Charles Spurgeon said this, it's profound. He said, a little bit of faith will get your soul to heaven, but a whole lot of faith brings heaven to your soul. So that's why we want to keep growing in the faith. We want to grow in the faith so we're not unstable. That's why it says in Ephesians 4, he says, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be maturing. When we stay immature and we don't grow, we're unstable. We're tossed by to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know what the wind of doctrines are? The stuff that's on that phone and all that. You know, it's okay to have a phone, but you got to watch what you're listening to. Yeah. There are doctrines on there that will take you away from God. Yeah. Am I making sense? You got to watch what you watch on. There's doctrines going out. It's teaching. Anything that's not Christ is a false doctrine. And so it will sway you. And if you're not mature, you're going to be influenced and swayed by it. And you'll be unstable in all your ways. You see that? So that's why we have to be aware. We want our foundation in what Christ says. The truth, right? Speaking the truth in love. That's where the love of God is really where the kingdom flows. Now, and faith works through love. Galatians 5, 6, remember? So faith, now, get a hold of this. The Hebrew, remember I told you the Hebrews, they were caught up in different things. You know what? In the Hebrew word for faith, you know what it is? Amen. Amen. Isn't that something? So now think about this. When that means agree. So when you're in agreement with God, things that's going to be your confession. Did you catch that? That's good stuff, isn't it? You're agreeing with God. Now, when you get in agreement with God, now look at this. This word faith in the Greek is the word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. Now, and then faith towards God is the Greek word pistis, and then the second word toward is epi. It means upon. And God is theon. Pistis, epi, theon. Faith upon God and God alone. That's what our faith is supposed to be, in God and God alone. It describes faith that is being projected. A faith that is projecting forward and is fully and wholly focused on God and not anything else. That's where our faith ought to be. Are you with me? This faith goes forward for the very reason that God is the objective. He's the object. He's the object of our faith. And that's going to cause you to prosper. What's prosper mean? To press forward, to make progress, and to help others along the road. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to press forward. And that's what you do. When your faith is in God, your faith is going to move you forward with God. Now watch this. So this is what got faith toward God. That's what we want. What's repentance mean? To change your mind. Change your mind. Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, he said, repent, his first message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So in other words, he's saying, change your mind towards this kingdom. It's not the way you think it is. You're going to have to change the way you think if you're going to function in this kingdom. You see that? Now just pause with me for a minute and listen to this. Okay, when I go to India, okay, I have to abide by a whole nother set of laws. Rules, principles, things over there. It's all different. I have to get my money exchanged. You see that? When you go to another country, there's all these other things you got to change. You see that? In order to live and get in touch with the economy and connect with the culture, you got to make these changes. Well, it's no different in heaven, in the kingdom. We're citizens of heaven. We're from another country. Are you with me? Faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the currency of heaven. You see that? Come on now. We're colonizing earth here now. This is what the church is. We've been colonized. We're bringing heaven here. Are you with me? We're walking in a whole nother set of rules, a whole nother laws and principles. Are you with me? We're from another country. And so this is why we got to grow and begin to understand how to live and function in God's kingdom here now so we can advance his kingdom. Am I making sense? Okay, we'll get back to where we were. So we're coming from heaven, right? Now, look what he says in Hebrews. He says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Remember, we took that word confession, and we've been on it, and we've been talking about our words and how important our words are. Remember, do all things without murmuring, complaining. And, you know, Paul wrote that from prison. He was incarcerated. And so, you know, he wrote that from a place of understanding, you know, pain and difficulty. But that doesn't give us an excuse to be reckless with our words. You hear me? And that's what he's telling us. We're not to be reckless with our confession and what we're saying. Now watch. So let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, confession, remember, it's the word homologia. Homo means same, logia means logos, words. Now, it's not a picture of a person who simply repeats what someone else says. This is a person who has gotten God's word into his heart and who has come into agreement and alignment with what God says. This person sees a matter like God sees it. You see, when you begin to speak the way God speaks and say what he says, it changes your vision. This person sees a matter like God sees it, hears it like God hears it, feels it like God feels it. Now his heart and God's heart are united on the issue, that their hearts are in sync with each other. And that's what God wants. He wants our hearts in sync with his, in a connection and relationship with him. He wants us dependent on him, and he wants us to say the same things that he says. And it starts with what we say about ourselves, our confession over ourselves. Amen? Now, real confessions are made out of words from God that have been sown into our heart. After a period of meditating and renewing the mind, you finally start to see the way that God sees it. You really believe what God believes. And from that place of your heartfelt conviction, you then begin to speak and declare your faith. You know, when we come to Christ, it says in Romans chapter 10, with the heart one, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know what that's saying? Your heart and your mouth are in agreement with God about your sin. And so that produces salvation. So when you have those two agreeing, it's a saving power in your life. You're in agreement together. Did you get what I just said? Amen. That's why it's so important to be in agreement with God. It empowers you. It brings salvation to your heart. Are you catching this? Man, that's important. This is the way we're supposed to live every day. Every day. Our confession is big. Now, You see, this is why we want to agree. We want to confess what God says about us and not what everything else is telling us. You see that? When I'm in agreement with him, it's going to produce joy. It will produce joy in you and strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength, right? All right, now get a hold of that. When we take God's viewpoint, now listen, when we take God's viewpoint and begin to hold it as our own conviction, it won't be long until we are in line and our thinking is in line and we believe what he says about us. And that comes through rehearsing and speaking over our lives. You're going to catch this. A true confession must come from your heart before it comes out of your mouth. Did you hear that? True confession must come from your heart before it comes out of your mouth. See, that's what we've been teaching on Wednesday night, is protecting our hearts and watching over our hearts. And really, what your words are really what help to protect your heart. Now, faith, talking about faith toward God, does not deny reality, but believes all things are possible to them that believe. Faith believes all things that are possible to them that believe. Now, I want to hang out on this confession idea, and I'll catch this. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 4:8. Let's look at this. I really want you to pick this up because this is rich. Second Corinthians 4:8. And then 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power is not of us, but it's of God. So we have a treasure inside of us. We have a treasure, the Holy Spirit working in us. And he wants to help us with our confession. And that's what this chapter is about. Now look at this. Look what he says. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Did you hear that? You didn't hear that. Give me back to 4:8. Give me back to 4:8. That's good English, isn't it? Now watch this. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. That's the way it is. That's reality. That's what he's saying to us. This is reality. We're hard pressed. Anybody been hard pressed this week? Anybody gone through some hardships this week? So we all see that we're hard pressed, right? But here's the truth of the matter. But we're not crushed. You see that? Did you see that? So we can say we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. See, you articulate. When you articulate the truth, now you need to rehearse that truth. You see that? You need to speak that truth over and over in your heart. Meditate on it. And now it's protecting you from getting off into your confession and making your confession contaminate everything. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed. What's perplexed? Confused. Sometimes you ever feel confused? There's times I feel confused. What is going on? My goodness. Sometimes I woke up the other morning, I thought, my goodness, what's happening? And just nothing. And I'm, just waking up in my house, You could feel it. Stuff goes on. There's a war going on over our souls. We're He says we're perplexed, but not in despair. That word despair means no hope. In other words, I'm confused, but I'm not in despair. Did you catch that? We are perplexed, but not in despair. You got to learn, we got to learn to grow and manage our butts. Huh? When you mismanage your butts, it's going to affect the outcome of your life. Did you catch what I said? Come on now. But not in despair. We're living in a time of hypersensitivity. Did you know that? And because of this COVID and because the American Psychological Association says that we are in hypersensitivity times there. People are sensitive, touchy. So we got to watch what's around us. And that's why we got to watch when we go to work. You know, people are going to be touchy. But you go there with the kingdom and you're going to help them because you're not crushed. You're not in despair, right? And you need to show them that with your confession. Oh, you hear me? You don't need to echo all the problems on the news and all the problems you're looking at and everything in your faith. No, you need to keep your mind on the Lord and keep your mind on the kingdom. Are you with me? And advance his kingdom. Because that's why you exist. Come on now, you didn't get this. Look at this. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now watch this. Give me another one. The next one. Next part of that verse. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Folks, you're going to be rejected. You're going to have people talk about, but you're not forsaken. You know what forsaken means? It means emotionally abandoned. You're not emotionally abandoned. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Am I making sense? You're not emotionally abandoned. Isn't that good news? You have to rehearse that. You have to know that. Forsaken means emotionally abandoned. Watch this. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight will be in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Whatever he does will press forward, will make progress, and help others along the road. Because you are not forsaken in your emotions. Are you listening to me? You are not forsaken, and you need to know that you're not forsaken. And when you walk around knowing that, you're not going to walk around in some emotional disarray. Your emotions are being governed by what God says. You're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. You're walking in the counsel of God. Are you listening to me today? Come on now. I can't just talk about this. This is how it is. Blessed is the man. That word blessed means a sheer, emotionally wealthy. You're emotionally wealthy when you're in touch with God. Get a hold of this. Come on now. Am I making sense?
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.